Welcome into the Yards After College podcast powered by KSLSports.com. We are here for a week, post week 15. I guess we have Monday Night Football still, but a post week 15 edition of the podcast. And alongside me is the one and only Sam Farnsworth of KSL Sports Live. You see his face on TV, but you hear his voice on this podcast. And it's always good to have you on the podcast, Sam. I need to open up the podcast with, are you ready for the holidays? We're a week out exactly from Christmas Day. Have you done all of your shopping? Are you ready with all the sweets and treats? I know you had a holiday party, a week or so ago? I couldn't go, unfortunately, because I was working the Jazz game that night. But I'm sure it was a festive time. And did it help you get ready for the rest of the crazy month that is waiting us?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, it's... I think I'm in the stage of life where I feel like you are never ready. Like you don't know how ready you are. You can have all the gifts bought and everything. And just like, look, I love this time of year. There's something that I've come to, I don't know if appreciate is the right way to describe it, but there's something I've come to understand the last 4 or 5 years or so of my life is that there's a lot of, definitely a lot of stress that comes along with this time of year too, but yes, we are enjoying it as well.
That's awesome, man. Like I said, sorry, I couldn't go to your party. I was bummed out by it. And, I don't even remember the result of the Jazz game. They might've lost. They probably did. They're losing a bunch right now. So it was probably a loss that we covered, but you know what? We push on, we push through, got another game tonight to cover alongside Monday Night Football. So fun stuff for KSL Sports. But Sam, it was an interesting week in the NFL, especially for the local guys. And it always throws me off when we have these Saturday games because it like stretches out the week, right? Like it's not just the typical Thursday, Sunday, Monday. You throw in three games on Saturday in the mix with everything else, and then it almost makes Sunday feel like it's less, but sometimes it's almost the less is more, right? But don't have doubleheader on Monday Night Football tonight, so that's nice. But got the Eagles and Seahawks tonight to finish off the week. And then 3 weeks left down the home stretch. Here we come as we head towards the playoffs. All of these teams are making moves, and it seems like there are a bunch of teams that are in that, like, 8-6 mix trying to fight for playoff spots. But let's start the podcast off this week. Let's talk about the three stars that you have for this week, because there wasn't as much this week, I'll say, as in weeks past, as far as the locals in the NFL are concerned. And what do you say? What do you think? We kick it off with that and then we kind of go from there.
Yeah, let's go for it. I mean, there were still some good performances, I think, overall. And you talked about how, you know, this time of year, the NFL likes to kind of stretch their schedule out a little bit, which I kind of like. I liked three Saturday games. I liked last week the doubleheader on Monday. What I didn't like was that they both kicked off at the same time. You know how when they start the regular season, they'll do a doubleheader on Monday, but they stagger the games a little bit, right? And I didn't like that they're both at the same time. That part bugged me a little bit. But I do like that they're – look, we have this debate with our producers at KSL Sports for television about at least one of our producers. He's a big NBA fan. Actually, a couple of them are. And they do not like that the NFL is encroaching on Christmas Day these last couple of years. And I'm all for it, 100% all for the NFL on Christmas Day. I mean, amen. Look, I get it. The NBA has tried to market Christmas Day as their day. Tell you what, all it takes is one NFL game, and yet they've got three, I think, this year on Christmas Day. Look, the NFL is king. They can take whatever day of the week they want, whatever holiday they want, and suddenly it becomes awesome. Like Black Friday with the NFL. Amazing. Do that every year, please. Anyway, this week, I feel like there were still some pretty solid performances, maybe not as flashy as we've seen over the last several weeks from our players that are connected to our state, whether high school or college, our locals that are out there in the NFL. There were still enough that that gave me enough of a list that I kind of had a hard time with the last, let's just get into it, and then you'll see where I'm at here.
Star.
Okay, third star. I am gonna give my third star to Zach Moss, the running back of the Indianapolis Colts, for score. He scored a touchdown this week again. I can't remember how many total touchdowns he has this season between rushing and receiving, but he's been finding the end. Clearly, we've seen him find a comfortable fit offensively in the NFL compared to where he was in Buffalo. And it's really awesome to see him succeeding the way he's been succeeding so far, I think, so far this year, Kyle.
Yeah, so it was a touchdown catch. Initially, as I was watching the game, I was like, for some reason, it just triggered in my brain that it was a rushing touchdown, but it was a receiving touchdown. So he came into the game with one receiving touchdown on the year and five touchdowns on the ground. But it's crazy when you look at Zach's numbers because he came in with 751 yards rushing. So he's still up there, like heading towards 1,000. We got 3 weeks left. Jonathan Taylor's been out the last couple of weeks with a thumb injury. And so I feel like, one, I'm trying to be an unbiased Colts fan here, just making that known. But it's fun to see Zach really take advantage of that opportunity because he's been handed the keys when JT has been off the field this year, right? So He was Indianapolis' starting running back the first 4 weeks of the season, and then he's been it the last 2 weeks. And during those 6 weeks is where his primary production has come. He's obviously, added some stuff here or there as they ramp JT up, especially in weeks, five, six, seven of the season. But then it was really like Zach Moss kind of took a back seat for the middle portion of the year until Taylor got hurt again a few weeks ago. But Zach Moss, like you said, he's really found like a nice fit. I don't know if it's going to be a situation where the Colts bring him back next year because they've already paid Jonathan Taylor a ton of money for the next few seasons, and their backups that came in on Saturday after Zach got hurt in the first half, he had an arm injury and it sounded like he had trouble gripping the ball and wasn't able to come back in. They ended up having Trey Sermon, that former Ohio State running back. He's kind of been on the, back end of the roster slash practice squad, as well as another guy that they elevated from the practice squad this week, who ended up rushing for a combined over, 110 yards or something like that, against the Steelers on Saturday. So I don't know if it's enough to, and I also don't know if he wants to be Jonathan Taylor's backup, right? Like he's shown enough this season that makes me think that some team's going to be willing to give him a spot. It does make me kind of interested. You saw what happened with Jamal Williams last year, where he ran over 1,000 yards and broke Barry Sanders' franchise record. And then the Saints signed him to essentially be Kamara's backup there in New Orleans. And then he's kind of been battling through injuries this year. So it's just the running back position is so fickle, Sam, that I don't know. It's hard to see what actually ends up coming out of Zach Moss's really good season. But I mean, through the first 6 weeks of the season, you would say Zach Moss was a Pro Bowl running back, right? And I think that circumstances with the team have kind of, shifted things on that. But he's still been really productive for the Colts this year. And it was nice to see him get back into the end zone. I think that was his first time scoring in like a month and a half. I think it had been since like the end of October that he had scored. So nice to see him get back in the end zone. Happy that he got another star for you this season.
I wanted to give it to someone who I there's a couple of guys that could have easily gotten a star. In fact, one of them that I really wanted to give this week, but I feel like I've given him several weeks in a row now, is Jordan Love. He's not one of my top three stars this week. He definitely deserves it. 284 yards, two touchdowns, a passer rating of 111.5. It came out on the losing end, but Jordan Love continues to just ball out. I love where he's gotten to with his confidence level and his ability. So, but
Always
I
sneaking
wanted to
in the
give it to.
honorable mention. Always sneaking
Right.
it in.
You brought something up with Zach. I'm going to derail this just for a second. You brought up Jamal Williams. I want to ask you a quick question. Do you think that Jamal's career up until last year with the Lions was it was a very serviceable but vanilla career. And then last year with the Lions, you said it, he broke Barry Sanders' touchdown record for Detroit, had that 1,000-yard year, just outstanding season. The Lions wanted him back too. He went somewhere else. Do you think maybe Jamal Williams went somewhere else knowing he was going to split carries and possibly be a backup because it would be mean less pressure?
I don't know. It's hard to say because I don't know what's in Jamal's head, right? So like I don't want to speak for him, but it's interesting because I
That's
feel
what
like
we do.
yeah, but I feel like most teams, Sam, have the split running back situation now. They have like
Right.
their main back, even in Detroit, right? They signed Montgomery from Chicago, draft Jahmyr Gibbs with like the what was it, the sixth overall pick. So, I mean, it had Jamal still been there, right? Like they signed Jamal instead of hypothetically, they signed Jamal again, re-sign him, and Montgomery finds somewhere else, whether it's he stays in Chicago or finds another, maybe he ends up New Orleans, right? Like you end up having them where the Lions still end up drafting Jahmyr Gibbs in the top 10. Like that pick still
Maybe.
happens, right? And so with that, I don't know if much changes because Jahmyr Gibbs is electric, like he's super fun to
Yeah.
watch and scored a couple of touchdowns there in their blowout over your Broncos on Saturday night, right? I mean, like I don't know if anything would have changed had he stayed in Detroit. It's a fascinating question though. But he I mean, injuries kind of have hampered him this season, like I mentioned earlier. And so that it was interesting because what Alvin Kamara was out for the first 3 weeks of the season, I believe, with his suspension. And Jamal got off to a really slow start and then he got hurt. And so
Yeah.
it I don't know. It's
Okay.
one of those what
Yeah.
ifs, right? What if?
Yep.
But I like the what
What
if on the
if?
pod.
It's one of those holiday debates. We'll get to some of those a little bit later on here, Kyle. But all right, let's get back to my stars. Second star. Let's keep that Detroit Lions theme going here. I'm gonna throw you a curveball here. I don't think you would have anticipated me guessing this. And in fact, I almost gave him my first star, but I'm giving it to Penei Sewell this week. Penei Sewell, according to Pro Football Focus, had him rated as the number one pass rushing offensive lineman for week 15. He was on their Pro Football Focus top offensive line of the week. You mentioned it. He helped pave the way to a blowout win over the Denver Broncos this weekend. And so, Penei Sewell, it's not often we give offensive linemen a lot of talk on this podcast, but I try to when I can. I know you try to too. I've given my stars in the past to guys like Garrett Bowles. Penei's getting it this week. He's getting my second star.
That's a solid pick. He's been so good for them. And as I was watching that game, especially when he's like so fun when they get out on the edge. Like if he's outside blocking, like I mean,
Yeah.
obviously like he's doing his job, right? Like when they, stay inside the tackle box. When he gets outside and he's blocking for Gibbs or Montgomery or whoever, if it's Amon-Ra St. Brown, coming on a sweep or something, he is so scary, Sam, because he is so athletic for how big he is. He's massive
He is.
and he's a running bulldozer when he's out there on the I'll say this about Penei Sewell. Want to see him involved in more trick plays, Dan Campbell.
Yes,
DMC,
yes,
give him the
yes,
rock. Have him
yes,
get
yes.
another reception like we saw. Was it last season or 2 seasons ago? I think it was last season where we saw
Yeah,
him.
100%.
I
There,
want more
so
of that because he's so talented. It's just fun.
yeah, there. So before you got to that, I was thinking of this play earlier this year in Utah, in the state of which we reside. Our high school football season, we ended up doing a top five plays of the year. And one of those top plays was a hook and lateral from Granger High School, which is in, a suburb of Salt Lake City. A little hook and lateral play. They passed it out to the receiver who lateraled back to their offensive tackle. And this guy was an athletic big boy. But as soon as he got the ball, boom, gone down the sidelines. No one was, and if you were in front of him, you wouldn't have stood a chance anyway. I want to see that with Penei Sewell, a little hook and lateral where it gets tossed back to Sewell. And when he's got momentum behind him, he's athletic, he's a quick lineman. He would be so hard to stop, and that'd be so fun to watch. So I'm all on board with
I
that.
either need that, Sam, or I need like Penei in like they have like an offset formation with Gibbs on the side of Goff, and then you have like Penei lined up in the back, and you fake it to Gibbs to the left, hand it to Penei on the right on the goal line. Who's stopping that? Right? Like everybody talks about this tush push with the Eagles, the brotherly shove. If Penei Sewell is coming at you from he's getting the ball, what, the 5 yard line with a head of steam hitting you at the one. Nobody's stopping that. I need to
Nope.
see it. I need to
But
see it.
that's not as exciting as getting him out in open space with the
It's
football, though.
true.
So
But
that's awesome.
if we're just talking about scoring touchdowns, Sam, if we're talking about points to win the game, that should be Detroit's secret weapon right there.
Yeah, for sure. Get him in the backfield. All right. Let's do this. My final star, my number one star of the week. This week, the number one star goes to, he's a former Layton High School star, former Utah Ute. It's Julian Blackman. A couple of takeaways in their game this week for the Colts. Had the fumble recovery, had the interception. Julian Blackman is one of those guys that I feel like had he not dealt with a few injuries early in his career, he'd probably be in the Pro Bowl conversation every year right now in his career, all pro type guy. I think he's still on that trajectory. But he's been making plays this season, which has been a lot of fun to watch. And this weekend, he was the BMOC, I guess you could say, for that Colts defense.
Yeah, and I think it's fun. We've got a few guys, as far as the locals are concerned, that are in contract years, and Julian is one of them. And like you mentioned, he's dealt with injuries, which is, I mean, it really impacted his 2021 season where he only played in
Yeah.
six games, but he came into the league coming in off of that, I want to say it was in the Pac-12
Ace.
championship game, right?
Yeah.
Against Oregon,
Yeah,
where
against
he ended
Oregon.
up tearing his ACL. And so they kind of brought him along slowly throughout, rookie mini camp and training camp that summer and whatnot, as they came into that weird 2020 COVID season. But they ended up needing Julian Blackman, if memory serves me right. I think it was Malik Hooker was their starting one of their starting safeties that year. He ended up going down with an injury, like I want to think say it was in the season opener in week two. It was really on early on that year, and so Julian Blackman got inserted kind of before they wanted to with his injury, right, coming in off that injury, what was it, 10 months later or whatever, or not even that, 8, 9 months later. And so having him kind of be thrust into the starting role early on as in his career, I actually think has helped him become one of those leaders on the Colts defense. And this year, Sam, like you mentioned, how he had on Saturday, fumble recovery and an interception. He's up to six takeaways this season. And
Wow.
before that, his combined was four for his first three seasons. So props to him. Just fun to see him making plays there in the secondary. Another thing that's just crazy, if you look at his tackles this year, Sam. So we've got three games left. He's at 87 tackles this season,
Woo.
65 solo. These are
Give me a
his
fat hundred.
numbers. Yeah, these are his numbers from the previous three seasons. 42 total tackles, 34 the next year, and then 50 last year. He's at 87. He's at 37 more this season than he had a year ago. It's just, I don't know. He's playing lights out this year. He's staying healthy, most importantly, and it's fun to see him continue to make plays. And he's in one of those spots there, Sam. I feel like safeties sometimes, it's another one of those things. We talk about cornerbacks, like you don't want to hear about them because, like, if you don't hear about them, they're doing their job, right? Like, if you hear about a cornerback, it's because he's getting burned all the time. Safety is kind of one of those other things where I feel like unless they're making these turnover type plays, you're not hearing about them a ton. But Julian Blackman, like, it's like every single week I kind of watch where the local guys are just when I have like my four boxes up. And like he's always in there. He's always making plays. He's always in the pile. And you overthrow a pass like Mitchell Trubisky did against the Colts on Saturday. Julian's gonna be right there. He's gonna be in position. So fun to see him making plays and getting your number one star of the week. Impressive.
Very, and I had a conversation a couple of weeks ago with another former local in the NFL, a former University of Utah Ute, Sean Smith, who played multiple seasons in the NFL at a very high level, and he was kind of going through some of his old stats that he could remember from college when he was at the University of Utah, and he's bringing up tackle numbers, and I asked him, I'm like, just out of curiosity, like when you're looking at your own stats and stuff, do you look at solo tackles, or do you look at total tackles as the number, right? Because I think from a media standpoint, I tend to look at total tackles. I
That's
think
what I
most
do.
media
Yeah.
do, right? And and as a defensive back, he was kind of joking. He's like, "Well, yeah, total tackles," because he's like, he joked that he's like, "I wasn't there to make tackles, but I was there to help clean it up." So,
That's the thing is like if you're in on the play, like it also helps when you have more of those, right? Like you're gonna have more total
Right.
tackles than you will solos, so that's the number that you want when it comes to contract negotiations and all that. But yeah, I just going back to Julian for 2 seconds, like to be able to make those turnover type plays, and I think they had the stat there on Saturday. The Colts are 19 games in a row now with a takeaway, and the next is like 11 or something for the next team. Like they've just been consistent. And
Yeah.
Gus Bradley's been there for 2 years now. Before that, they had Matt Eberflus, the Bears head coach. And like it's a defense that kind of lends to you getting the ball or trying to focus on you taking the ball away. And I think that that's been beneficial for Julian. And so I personally, I want to see him back with the Colts next year. I hope that they re-sign him in the offseason. But he's definitely made a case, as has another former Ute and Jalen Johnson, where these guys are going to be wanted by other teams in the offseason. So, Sam, as always, an excellent 3 stars this week. Let's take a quick break and then we will come back. And you mentioned a little Christmas holiday debate we're having on KSLSports.com. We'll talk about that on the other side. All right, welcome back to the Yards After College podcast powered by KSLSports.com. Sam, we are doing something right now on KSL Sports social media. You can find us on X and Facebook, Instagram, Threads. We're doing the 12 debates of Christmas, a little playoff of the 12 days of Christmas. And some of these have been pretty fun. We're getting a lot of good engagement from you, the listener, the rest of the audience that follows us on KSLSports.com. But today, Monday, December 18th, we've got one that is pertinent to the locals in the NFL, Sam. And I think it's apt that we're doing this one today because he was destroyed by his own team, as well as the Miami Dolphins defensive front on Sunday. Poor Zach Wilson ends up having arguably the best game of his career a week ago when they blew out the Houston Texans. They went down to South Florida and the Miami Dolphins destroyed the New York Jets on Sunday, 30 to nothing. But Zach didn't even make it to the second half because I think it was on, if I remember right, I apologize because I don't have it in front of me, but somebody posted online what the numbers were here. I think it was out of his first 15 dropbacks, four of them resulted in sacks. I know that Connor Hughes there covering the Jets in New York, he ended up saying that Zach was pressured on 80% of his dropbacks, which is
Oh
just
my gosh.
brutal. I tweeted that, or I texted this to you during the game. They said that it was the Jets' 11th starting offensive line unit this season, and we're in week 15. So 14 games, and only three of them you've had this, or what is it, three or four of them you've had the same starting offensive line. And that's just not a recipe for success for any quarterback, let alone one who's been under fire like he has been for his first three seasons in the league. But our 12 debates of Christmas, Sam, are about Zach Wilson, who ended up suffering a concussion there in the second half, or sorry, in the second quarter, that is, and didn't play in the second half against the Dolphins. If Zach Wilson, this is the question for you, Sam. If
Okay.
Zach Wilson isn't on the Jets roster in 2024, which NFL team is the best fit for the former BYU quarterback? I know we touched on this a little bit ago. I think it was a
Right.
month or so ago. We talked about it briefly with Mitch Harper when he joined the podcast. If you want to go back and listen to that, find us on any podcast platform that you want to use and go back and look for that episode with Mitch. Mitch had some really good stuff to say about that. But Sam, what do you think? What's your takeaway as we've seen, another month of chaos with the Jets? Zach Wilson has a good game, ends up going out with a head injury yesterday. Is his future with the Jets or is it with another team? And if so, what's the best fit for him in 2024?
Yeah, definitely not with the Jets. His future is not in New York. Good for him playing the way he did 2 weeks ago to show, kind of have a resume game, right? To show the NFL that, look, I can do this. And then actually, what happened on Sunday against the Dolphins might actually be a good resume game in his favor, too, to show, look how crappy of an offensive line I was playing behind. Look how bad of a system I was in. It wasn't helping me. Okay. So, having said all that, yeah, when we talked about this with Mitch brought up the Kansas City Chiefs is a great spot for him to go and be a backup, Andy Reid system, be behind Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. Okay. I like that. I'm going to think of a place, though, where he could potentially be the starter next year. And my answer, it could change tomorrow. It could change. Certainly by the end of the season, once teams start shuffling their rosters around and we see some movement with free agency and draft and things like that, but here's a team I'll give to you that I think he would have a good chance to not only be the starter as soon as he walks in, but he's got weapons all around him on the offense. He's got some great running backs. He's got some good pass catchers. And this team, I'm gonna say, is the Atlanta Falcons. Okay. How about the Atlanta Falcons? Taylor Heineke is not their
Interesting.
answer. Desmond Ridder is not their answer. Okay. They need another quarterback there. Why not Zach Wilson? You do have Tyler Allgeier. You do have Bijan Robinson in the backfield. You still have Cordarrelle Patterson. He got into the end zone, I believe, this weekend. You still have him in there, whether he sticks around for much longer or not. Don't know. But then you've got some great pass catchers there as well. Drake London. This is a guy that has a bright future as well. Matching him up with maybe a Zach Wilson as well. Kyle Pitts, I know he hasn't lived up to the hype of being that first round tight end draft pick, but he's still a very talented pass catcher as well. There are options on that offense and probably a lot less pressure going to play in Atlanta than in New York.
Interesting. The Falcons wouldn't have popped into my brain. And I guess I would say that the reason why they didn't pop in my brain, Sam, is because I don't know if I see Zach as a starter next year. And, maybe it's like one of those situations where like Mitchell Trubisky ended up being the starter in Chicago and then it was where he went to Pittsburgh and it was. Is he going to be the starter there, as they bring Kenny Pickett along? And then, it's just like a bridge quarterback situation. I don't know if Zach's like bridge quarterback like that. I just don't know. Like, I want to see what teams think of him in the offseason. Are they looking for him to be the, because like you could be a backup to a lot of great quarterbacks, right? I mean, the obvious one we mentioned the Chiefs. That's what I put as far as my
How
answer, just because I think that it's so fun with that option.
long though? How long do you want to be a backup for? And I get it. That might be the only option for him for the next year or two. But if there's a chance to start somewhere, and maybe Atlanta isn't looking for him as a starter either. Maybe no one sees him as a starter next year. But I guess coming from Zach's point of view, I wouldn't want to go somewhere where I'm going to be. So this is why I don't like Kansas City. You go to Kansas City, you're going to be the backup for as long as you're on the Chiefs. So why would you go there? Let's find somewhere where there's at least a window of
Well,
opportunity to become the starter.
I mean, Chad Henne's bank account would beg to differ. Like I'll say that much, right? Or it's like Chase Daniel, right? Like Chase Daniels was like, I think he posted something on his, I don't know, it was his Threads or his X account the other day, where he was like, man, I picked a bad year to retire. 'Cause like they're up to the 50 something starting quarterbacks this year in the NFL, and he was one of those guys that was just plug him in. He's a veteran guy, he's not gonna go out there and win the game for you, but he's probably not gonna lose it for you either. He's a serviceable quarterback. Yeah, it's interesting because Zach's gonna wanna start. I just don't know if there's a spot there. I'll say this. If Zach is not a starting quarterback in the NFL next season, if he doesn't find a spot there, then you do want to go to one of those places where it's a Kansas City or it's a Miami, where you have a good quarterback in front of you. So odds are you're not going to th be thrown into a pressure situation immediately, but you're also in a system where you've got an offensive genius to learn from, whether it's Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid in that duo, or it's Tua Tagovailoa and Mike McDaniel. I mean, those would be pretty good spots for him to end up in if he's not going to end up being a starting quarterback, right? Like, safe situation, learn a ton, be able to sit there as a sponge in the quarterback room and soak it up. I don't know. It is a fascinating debate because Zach's going to want to play, right? Like, all these quarterbacks want to play. And so it's not like he's signing. I think that that's the difference, where he was under contract with the Jets. And so it was easy for him to be like, yeah, Aaron Rodgers, my idol, come in. Yeah, I'll sit and learn from him for a year. I'm already under contract, whatever. If he's getting traded, or if they cut him and then he has to go find a new home on his own, like, the situation changes completely, where it's not like, oh yeah, I'm comfortable sitting behind Aaron Rodgers for a year or two. So I don't know. It's
You know what would be
fascinating.
really fun? It's not going to happen, but what would be really fun? New England. Go be the quarterback in New England. They obviously are done with Mac Jones. I don't think Bailey Zappi's the future. Go be the quarterback in New England. Play the Jets twice a year, and go on to have a great career, and show the Jets what they missed out on because they had terrible coaching.
Hey, I'll say this. If they end up getting, I don't know, it all depends on Bill Belichick, right? I'll just say that. If he ends up staying in New England, it's not the worst thing. But some people have thrown out there on this answer, San Francisco with, sitting behind Brock Purdy and learning from Kyle Shanahan. It's another one of those Kansas City, Miami situations. It's something that I'm going to
LA.
write up. I'm going to write up a story, Sam. It's going to come out. You can look forward to it. We got to wait till the end of the season. But once the season ends, the Jets are already limited from the postseason. So look for it right at the end of the year. All right. We've got a couple minutes before we got to wrap this thing up. So real quick, Sam, I'm going to throw you my Kyle's fun fact of the week. I know you probably have seen this. I think you retweeted me or reposted me on X. This was something that happened yesterday. Jordan Love threw two touchdown passes, which moved him to 25 for his season as Green Bay's starting quarterback. So I thought to myself, I was like, man, 25 touchdowns, and it was 24 at the time, but 25 touchdown passes, that's got to be more than Zach Wilson's had in his NFL career, right? I went and looked. Zach has had 23 in his 3 seasons with New York. That's just wild to me, Sam. It's just crazy that Jordan Love, through 15 weeks of the season, 14 games, has two more touchdown passes than Zach Wilson has had in his 3 years in New York. So, and we've seen that, some of that's on Zach, but a lot of that's on everything else going on around him. I will be
Right.
shocked, Sam, if Robert Saleh is the head coach of the New York Jets when we're talking 2 months from now, based
There's
off of
no
everything that's
way.
happened. I don't believe
There's
that it's
no
going to happen. There's
way.
got to be a change there. All right,
Yeah.
quick thoughts from you, Sam. We got 90 seconds. What do you have for me to tease for this week on KSL Sports Live?
Well, this week it's a Christmas week, so please watch on Christmas Eve, Sunday night. We will still have our 45-minute show. I will be hosting that entire show, and I promise it's going to be a Christmas spectacular. I'm going to be dressed up for it. I'm going to bring you the best of the best. I promise. You just got to watch. And as far as I'll just jump to the point, a game to watch this week, there's a lot of good ones. I'm let's just start with Thursday night football. Saints Rams, a lot of local flair there. I gotta see Puka ball out again.
I like it, Sam. We got a nice doubleheader on Saturday. Bengals and Steelers on KSL 5 TV at 2:30 in the afternoon. Bills and Chargers that night on Peacock. So that'll be fun. Three games on Christmas on Monday. So tons of football to watch on Sunday and Monday. We'll be back again in 2 weeks. We're not going to record on Christmas because we're not crazy. So catch us in a couple of weeks. We'll talk about everything that happened throughout the holidays. And until then, this has been the Yards After College podcast powered by KSLSports.com.